Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 42 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're going to be talking a lot of girls track today with the two head coaches of the Ankeny teams. In a little while, we'll be visiting with Ankeny Centennial coach Andrew Kruzik. But right now, we want to bring in our first guest. He's in his first season as the head coach of the Ankeny girls team. And last Thursday, he guided his team to a third-place finish in the Hawkett Invitational. He is Thomas Cotter. Thomas, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
I appreciate you having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to do this tonight. I know you have a newborn baby at home.
That's
you
right,
know, between your coaching and being a dad, you know, are you getting any sleep?
Not much. I'll be up at – my wife and I are taking shifts right now, three-hour shifts when I get home, that is. And when it's my shift, the baby might be on my chest, and I'm checking quick stats. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just seeing when we're at with quick stats, or I might be changing lineups and such. So just living the coach's life right now.
You got a multitask, right?
Absolutely. That's right.
So is this your first child?
First child. I've got a stepdaughter too. She's seven, but first time doing the diapers and that such. So hold up the ball game with that.
I'll bet. Well, your team has a busy week this week with three meets in 5 days. You competed last night up at Ames, where your squad placed fourth in the 8-team field. You know, what did you think of your team's performance last night?
We tinkered a lot with the 4x2. We want to try to get in the fast heat for Drake. So super impressed with that. I still feel like we have time to shave, so that's pretty exciting. 4x1, we wanted to break 49, but we messed up one of our handoffs, which is going to happen. We learned from it, and
sure,
we're making some adjustments prior to Drake, so we're pretty excited with where we're at. Our 100, Michaela Sidney's been working her butt off, and now she's 14th in the state, so she's going to qualify for Drake, it looks like, and our sprint mid's 20th right now, so we still might need to shave some time on that, but we'll look to shave some time on Saturday for that, so.
All right. Well, you'll be competing again at Indianola on Thursday and then at Drake on Saturday, you know, of course, with weather permitting.
That's right.
You know, when you have a week like this one with three meets, do you have to be careful about not overextending some of your kids? Because you can't really go full throttle for
sure,
all three meets.
For sure. Depending on where we're at with things, we're happy with where we're at now after last night. So going into Thursday, we'll run mostly JV. If we needed to, we would have girls run one or two events, but we don't need to. We're going all JV Thursday, so we're ready to go for Saturday. So saving legs.
Sure. Well, before we talk some more about your team, you know, let's talk a little bit about you. Since sure. This is your first year at Ankeny, some people may not be real familiar with yet. You were previously the head girls coach at Carlisle from 2011 to 14.
Yes.
And then you spent a few years as an assistant girls coach at Southeast Polk.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And over there, you helped the Rams to back-to-back third-place finishes.
Yeah, yep. It's fun to watch. State meet.
And I know, of course, you had a chance to coach Sydney Milani over there, and, of course, she has such a great career.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Set all those all-time bests last year. So, you know, can you take any credit for her success?
I'm taking no – that kid's a workhorse, so I'm not going to take one ounce of credit. She's an awesome kid.
Well, do you think that was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to coach a kid like that?
It seemed – I can't imagine anybody with that kind of range coming through the pike anytime soon, but if there's anybody out there, come on up to Ankeny, Southside, so we'll be happy to have you.
Well, it had to be fun to coach a kid like that, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every workout, just busting her butt. Great, even better person, better teammate, so just awesome to have on the team for sure.
Well, you obviously know Southeast Polk well, and they were one of the teams that you competed against last night.
That's right, yep.
They won the meet. Not even though Sydney's gone, you know, they're still pretty strong. Do you think they're a team that could contend for a state title?
Absolutely. I think I'm a big 400, 800 guy, and you can set up a lot of different events when you've got those kind – with that kind of depth that they have. So they've got four girls, the teens for the 800, so, and then their 400s. They've taught the 4x4 factory right now, and it just seems like every year they're reloading. So absolutely, yep, I expect to see them in the top three for sure.
All right. Now, I know you told me that you were kind of itching to get another head coaching job. You know, when the Ankeny job became open, you know, what attracted you to it? What was it, the fact that you were already familiar with it that, you know, was some appeal for
you? I knew they had some sprinters and a really good history. Coach Adamson did an awesome job throughout his time here. So, and then just everything timed up. My wife and I had just moved. We just got married, and just everything kind of lined up for us. So,
well, you mentioned Coach Adamson. Of course, he coached here for nearly three decades. You know, was there a little bit of an adjustment period for you and the girls, or did the transition go pretty smoothly?
Transition's been really good. I spoke with Adamson before the season just to kind of touch base on how he ran things, and then met with the coaches and said, hey, this is how I'm going to be looking to change things. And then the team's been awesome. Coach has been awesome. It's been pretty simple. The biggest adjustment is just the baby schedule and getting that everything worked out, lineups and such. So.
Sure. Now, are there very many holdovers from his coaching staff, or did you have to find, you know, some new assistants?
No, everyone's back this year, so it's been
good.
Yeah, made it easy.
Well, I know you told me when you were hired that one of your goals was to push the girls out of their comfort zones in order to try some new events. You know, have they been pretty willing to do that?
Yeah, everybody. I've said, first day of practice, I said, we're going to be running 400, so if you're not on board, and there's the door, and nobody left. So I've got girls like Holly Trimble running low 102 splits. She's going to keep shaving time. Sydney Wendling ran a one flat yesterday. We've got two freshmen at 102, so we're just going to keep chipping away time at those events. So.
Well, I know Eva Vandermortel told me before the season that, you know, she knew she'd have to start running some 400s, and she's pretty good at it, isn't she?
Yes, yep, yep. That's something that, Saturday, we're going to look to 4x4, see if we can shave some time, get us into Drake. But.
Well, like you mentioned, you know, coming into the season, you knew you had some good sprinters, and your 4x1 team has already posted a state leading time of 49.04. I'm not sure if that still ranks number one or not.
As of before I got up here, it was. So, yeah, right. Keep checking that.
Well, you have to be really happy, you know, with that group of kids.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think a lot of people thought, well, we lost Remley, we weren't going to be as talented, but girls have stepped up. We've got Mandy Mortal, Michaela Sydney in particular. I didn't expect her to be running as well as she has, and she's running really confident right now. Mytika Mayberry with our anchoring it right now. It's been fun to watch, and we've got so much depth there that we're trying to figure out who that third person is going to be right now in the relay. So,
well, you mentioned the events that you're trying to get into the Drake relays. Of course, that's one of your big things that you're trying to do this time of year is to get
yeah,
into Drake.
Absolutely.
You know, do you feel like you guys, you know, are making some pretty good progress in that regard?
Right now in the 100, we've got three in. Vandy Mortal's 9th, Mytika Mayberry's 13th, and Michaela Cindy's 14th. 4x2's 5th. We want to be in that fast heat for that. I still think we can finish in the top three there. Sprintman's 20th. Our hurdles right now, we're finally getting healthy. We had the injury bug there for a little bit. We're going to see if we can get the shuttle in and maybe Malia Doherty in the open.
Oh, okay. Well, when you look at your team as a whole, do you feel like, you know, you guys are making strides in all areas, or do you feel like there's, you know, some events where you still have a lot of work to do?
We're making strides. I mean, our middle distance are 800s. We're not super deep, but they keep chipping away at their time, which is all we can ask right now. And our field events, they keep improving. So, yes, absolutely.
That's all you can ask for, right?
Absolutely. This time of year, for sure.
Well, last Thursday, your team edged Ankeny Centennial for second place in the 4x400 relay at the Hawkett Invitational, and that prevented the Jaguars from earning a share of the overall team crown. You know, you had to be happy with the fight that your team showed in that
Absolutely.
Race.
Absolutely. Vandy Mortal got the baton pretty far back, and she just gathered it out and got her at the line. She's great at leaning at the line, so it's fun to watch.
Now, you're obviously, you know, new to this community, but you've had a little bit of time now to get a feel for the crosstown rivalry with Centennial. You know, do you feel like there is much of a rivalry in track, or is this a sport because you are competing against multiple teams that there maybe isn't quite as much of a rivalry?
It's a friendly rivalry, but when we get down to it, like that 4x4, I mean, we want to get them at the line, and if we can prevent them from getting second, that was pretty cool to see. So.
Sure. Now, I know you were a sprinter in college at Simpson, but now you've become an avid marathoner.
Yes.
So how did you evolve from a sprinter into a long-distance runner?
My dad's been running 3 to 5 miles every day since I can remember. So when I graduated college, I was like, oh, I got to keep running. So it's just kind of built up mileage over time, and eventually I was like, oh, let's go for the marathon here. So
how many have you ran?
I've run five of them in Kansas City and one of them in Des Moines. So,
oh, okay.
And I've also, unfortunately, dropped out of two. I've just gotten in and out of shape. And
sure.
Yeah. Yep.
I know how that goes. I ran one. I finished it, but it didn't go so well. I don't think I need to do that again.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, do you ever have any aspirations, you know, to run like out of Boston or in New York?
I'm not. If I can keep my pace till like I'm 50, I'll get there, but I'm not running nearly fast enough. It's just getting air to be right now is the goal for
sure.
Those kind of things.
Sure. Well, you know, is it hard to keep up with your own training when you're coaching and you're also a new dad?
Oh, yeah, for sure. If I don't get up really early in the morning, really early in the morning to get it done, then it's not getting done. It is what it is right now.
Just not enough time in the day,
yeah,
is there?
Exactly, yep. Summertime, try to pick it back up. But.
All right, Thomas. Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time home buyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending and the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 for questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. Well, my next guest is in his sixth season as the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial girls team. He has guided the Jaguars to a pair of second place finishes in their last two meets. He is Andrew Kruzik. Thanks for coming in, Andrew.
Oh, glad to be here.
Hey, you bet. Well, your team competed last night at Johnston, where you guys edged the Dragons by half point for the runner-up spot behind Waukee. You know, you were pretty happy with your team's performance, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. You know, it's times have changed a little bit in track and field. And you're not pointing up every meet and, you know, really keeping track of score. And so that really wasn't the intent. We're trying to run some things fast and, you know, take a look and see what we can get to Drake. But, you know, last couple of events we're down 3.5, and it's kind of had an old school feel to it, you know, see if we can knock off in the 4x1, which wasn't loaded, see if we can upset Johnston in the 4x4, which we did load, and, you know, it was a lot of fun, you know.
Well, before we dive into some questions about your team, I want to get your thoughts on Waukee, which won the meet last night by nearly 120 points. The Warriors are the three-time defending state champions, and you've now seen them at least a couple of times in the outdoor season. You know, do you think they're looking like the team to beat again this year?
Yeah, they are. And they're just so balanced everywhere. You know, they can roll out a girl that's going to throw a 45-foot shot. They've got high jumpers that are 5'3", 5'2". You know, they're distance runners are outstanding. Their cross-country program's good all the time. Their sprints, you know, of course, they show up at the Wartburg Indoor and have got two freshmen that are running 26-200s. You know, that's they just seem to find people, you know, every year they it seems like they're losing a lot, and then every year they get a lot, you know, and they just do a great job top to bottom.
I'm sure they got a lot of depth, too. I mean, they probably got kids that aren't even running the varsity that, you know, are pretty good, too.
They start, yeah, their JV squad could give a run to a lot of varsity squads, really. They start the year with around 170, 180 girls out, and they'll finish with 140, 150. And we were thinking about the shuttle hurdle last year at some point, and Coach Cogdill pointed out they have 1,500 girls in their high school. We've got about 600. So, you know, if we're a second and a half, two off of them in a shuttle, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Well, I know they're talking about going to second high school over there. Maybe it's time, huh?
Nobody is going to feel bad for them when they split. That's
yeah,
for sure.
For sure. Well, your team has a busy week this week with three meets in 5 days. You'll be competing again at Indianola on Thursday and at Drake on Saturday, weather permitting. Yep. You know, when you have a week like this one, you know, how do you decide which meets, you know, to really focus on? Because you can't really throw your best lineup out there for all three meets, can you?
No, we can't. We can't run girls 3 days or three times in 5 days, or they're just trashed out by Drake. And that is the thickest competition, the best surface and facilities. And it's got a big school feel with that college, high school combined. So we try to build for that, but you also have to be flexible with the weather. And if it looks like Saturday is going to be awful, then, you know, we kind of overschedule our meets. And traditionally, we've treated Indianola as like a JV meet. And we'll hold back the girls that are going to run on Saturday. They won't go down tomorrow. And that allows our JV to elevate and kind of get some run at playing some varsity, you know, or running, you know, in the varsity lanes. Gives our kind of second-tier JV a chance to kind of be the scoring JV. And we play it by that. But like last year, when we had all those meets canceled, we went down to Indianola and we ran things hard because we were just desperate to get any kind of times there. So overschedule, play it by weather, play it by whatever, you know. We're 23-mile-an-hour tailwind. We're thinking about just bringing down like 100 girl and just letting her fly tomorrow. So everything's on board, you know, in April in Iowa.
Well, the way the weather is around here, I mean, like every year is different, isn't it?
It is. It is. And you can kind of cycle back and, you know, I was having flashbacks to 2013 where we had 8 inches of snow on the ground. We set a record for the longest there and we could just never get a melt. And, you know, like the Jenny Roberts, senior year last year at Ankeny was just terrible snow. And you just kind of have these flashbacks and you know if the winter's mild, you're going to pay for it somewhere. And
right.
You just hope that, you know, it's really messed up our stadium because we're in the middle of resurfacing that track. Our eighth grade doesn't have a place to practice right now. And they're trying to get caught up from there because they got behind with the snow. So there's always disruptions. You just have to be flexible and have to roll with it.
Oh, sure. Well, two of your girls set school records last night. Katie Peterson broke her own school record in the 100 hurdles by winning that race in 15.03 seconds. Mm-hmm. Catherine Vertherms broke the mark in the 400 with a time of 1:07.1. You know, those two kids also ran the winning 4x4 relay that allowed your team to edge Johnston, you know, in the team race.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Katie and Catherine are probably two of the girls that you could at least afford to lose to an injury, right?
Yeah, we have to be very careful with them. And, you know, we talk a lot about load. And with someone like Katie Peterson, you know, she's kind of this self-made creature. She was injured for a portion of her early freshman year and really came on at the end. It was running just as fast as her fourth girl on the shuttle. And we kept her as an alternate just to honor the experience of the senior. Last year she comes around, and then this year she's made a big jump, but she hasn't carried the physical load necessarily that she will this year or the psychological load. And, you know, she's kind of got this newfound stardom, and she's a very humble kid. And, you know, we check in with her once in a while, how's it going? And, you know, just making sure she's not feeling that stress. But we do have to monitor, you know, good stress is still stress, and your body doesn't distinguish between physical stress and emotional stress, and it doesn't distinguish between good stress and bad stress. So, you know, you run really well, but you carry the expectations into the next time. And that can be just as taxing overall as having a bad race or something. So we monitor that. She's doing a wonderful job so far. Catherine is also just an outstanding girl, just a very, very hard worker. And they're both very dedicated students, like so many of our girls. And so we have to check in and talk about time management and class load and workload. And we really, you know, do try to, you know, take care of the whole athlete, the whole person, you know, because they're student athletes. They got a lot more going on than just track.
But, oh, sure. Well, Katie's certainly known as a hurdler, but she ran the 400 for the first time ever last night and had your team's fastest split. You know, you probably weren't expecting that, were you?
I joked. They were supposed to do this at the Johnson Quad. You know, it was just a training. You know, we just look at it as, okay, if we need to we need to be able to pop a 200 in the middle and end of season and have that be legitimate. Let's get these quarters out. Meg Ridd outran one last night too, and she hadn't run one in a couple of years. Maria Breeding is another hurdler. So it was just kind of, it's a training session more than anything. And I joked with Katie, I said, you're a sub 60 400 runner. You just don't know it. And everything lined up perfectly because she got the baton right with the Johnston girl, right with everything on the line. And of course we told him that we needed to beat Johnston to edge him for second. We made it a big deal. And she is a competitor. Like, you know, Catherine Vorthrums, who led that off in Ellie Street, and Millie Hill just ran a great anchor. So it lined up perfectly that the Johnston girl took a slight lead around, and then with about 120 left, Katie just went for it. She joked afterwards. She said, I don't think I was moving at all on that home stretch. And I said, well, you're moving faster than the other girl, so that's all that counts.
That's right.
So I was not – I knew she had the capability, but for a kid to have the right kind of aggressive mentality in a 400 and kind of have that confidence and competitiveness, that was rare. I'm glad it came together for her.
Well, overall, are you happy with the progress that your team is making? You know, what areas do you still need to improve in?
Well, we need to – we lost so much last year in terms of just so many seniors with such experience, you know, the Emma Gordons and Macon Grays and Kari Pippets and Katie Sidoris, Betsy Ridout, these kind of girls, and Claire Wubin is another one. And, I'm, of course, I got in trouble because I started listing names, and I'll forget one or two. But just so much experience. We had a lot of depth and balance where we could – you know, hurdlers could kind of be hurdlers, and, you know, your sprinters could kind of just be sprinters. And right now, if I had to line up, you know, my best 4x2, it might be 3 out of our shuttle hurdle. And so there's a lot of things, you know, when we charted out Drake relays and odds and where we're sitting and what we think we can get in, we really have to map out over this next 4 and 5, not only what we think we can get in, but how we're going to use those girls. And then also looking ahead to the actual Drake relay schedule, because we might not necessarily be able to run those things as we want to in those at that time. You know, do you want to, you know, Katie Peterson would be on our fastest sprint med, but that's right between the final of the 100 hurdle and the 100 hurdle prelim and the 100 hurdle final. So if she makes that final, there's more to consider
about, yeah.
because it's the same girls. Or Morgan Graybill, 3,000 or 4x8. We've got about the same shot to get to Drake in both, you know, maybe 50-50 or so. So where do you use her? What event do you give the shot to? And there's more to consider because we don't quite have the options, the specialization that we did last year.
Well, looking at the qualifiers as a whole, I mean, do you think you're going to get in quite a few events, or is it still, a lot of it still up in the air?
It's a lot up in the air, and it's going to depend on weather and how the performances come together. You know, we think there's 10 or 11 we could get in, but if you know, how many quality chances do you actually get? 10 was the most we've ever gotten in last year, and so we feel good about, well, we know the 100 hurdles in. We know the 4x1's always in. We feel good about the shuttle. We're only like a second away from in the sprint med. We're going to load that up on Saturday. So those things we feel pretty good about. We'll have a decent chance at the 4x2. If we give the 4x4 another run, you know, we're only about a second away from what it usually takes. So we're knocking on the door. Some of the other stuff is a little bit more 50-50, 30-70, whatever. But I think we can, at the end of the day, we can get between 5 and 8 events in there, hopefully.
All right. Well, your team has been an incredibly consistent performer at the Class 4A state meet. You guys have finished between 13th and 18th place in all 5 of your previous seasons.
Thanks, Dan.
You know, I'm sure your goal is to get into the top 10 at some point. You know, this team, you mentioned that you maybe don't have quite as much depth. I don't know if that's an unrealistic goal at this point, but I'm sure it's something you guys want to accomplish at some point.
Well, you know, track and field is so interesting in the way that they score your state meet. You know, you have to have those elite athletes that are going to go out and get first, second, third. And, you know, I think it was 3 years ago where Clinton – had two throwers who double placed in both the throws. They ended up being the 8th best track team in the state with
two
those
girls.
4 medals, and they never had an event on the track.
Wow.
You know, Council Bluffs Abraham Lincoln has got a wonderful sprinter, long jumper hurdler. She was the 8th best track team in the state last year. And so we could qualify, you know, what did we get, 16 events to state last year, and we can be, you know, 10th, 11th, that's kind of the range where we end up a lot. We haven't been able to produce those elite, you know, top 2 or 3 that are going to go out and get you those heavy points that you need to be top 10. When you look at the Iowa Association Track Coach Power Rankings that assess your entire meet, one meet on like a pentathlon point scale, you know, based on what it takes to get to state and everything, your first 400 runner, your second, all of your relays, we were 4th in the state last year, 4th best meet in a class. We've been in the top 10, you know, the last 3. So it's, yes, we definitely want to be top 10. That's where we need to be. That's where we should be. But it's a, you know, even if they score track like they score swimming, where they you know, point out to, right, you know, 12, 15, 16 places or whatever it is they do. I don't know swimming very well, but, but they go more than eight,
right,
you know, we would show more, you know, so we're very balanced. We're very good in our meets. You know, we're usually, you know, second, third, somewhere in there. If Waukee's around, then, you know, and, it doesn't look like that at the state meet, which is unfortunate because we've had 85 state qualifiers in the last 5 years. I mean, we're doing a nice job. You know, we're balanced in that, but we're not punching through to that elite level like we want to.
Well, of course, once you get down there, you got to face, you know, all the best kids in the state. So, yeah, yep, you really need those hammers in order to be able to compete down there, don't you?
You got to have those hammers. And, you know, it's funny how much, you know, I would, you know, if you coach in a university town where you've got those kind of athletic genetics that tend to hang out in those cities, those kids kind of have an advantage. You know, the, you know, we have where we've traditionally been strong at Ankeny, and then here are those events where can you find the events where you can coach them up, and where can you find those events where you can, you know, really exploit effort. And so when you think about where we've been good at Ankeny and Centennial hurdling, you know, some of the jumping events, some of those middle distance kind of 400 areas, you know, you think about those, the chain of 400 low runners that we had with the Roberts girls and, you know, and Kari Pippett and some of that stuff.
Sure.
We kind of, you got to find that niche because it's hard to break through distance wise against the Dowlings and the Waukees. We have an outstanding distance program and they're very good, but it's hard to, you know, break through that lead. Johnston is right next door. And then sprint wise, we've never had that top end blazer speed that, you know, like a Cedar Rapids Jefferson is going to produce or something like that, who can't score a point in distance, but, you know, right, is right there and, you know, scoring a lot at state or Waterloo East or something like that. And in track, you can have those one or two girls that show up and produce, you know, 25 points. And apparently that's a better team than us.
Sure. Right.
And
right,
they are. That's the way it runs. You know, you play to the rules, but it doesn't reflect quite, I think, the quality of what we've done the last few years.
Sure. Well, I think people realize that, though, what's going on.
But yeah, sure.
What do you think is going to be the keys for this team, you know, to reach its potential? I imagine staying healthy is going to be one of them, since you do have those kids that, you know, you're using in several different spots.
Yeah, staying healthy is always part of it. And then, you know, like a Callie Jones hasn't been healthy this year. She's, you know, been banged up, and then she's finally kind of turning the corner on that, and then she got sick and, you know, missed the meet yesterday and stuff like that. So our shuttle hasn't had its top four in it yet. You know, she was, you know, third place in the high jump last year, and she's, you know, not jumped very much and things like that. We need to get everybody together, but we just need to continue to, you know, do what we've been doing, which is, you know, very focused practice. And our girls really get out there and compete. And really, you know, 1 to 85, we've got a really good culture where they're getting out and they're warming up properly, cooling down properly, they take care of themselves, they're trying to get into good nutrition, they're trying to sleep, you know. We've got a bunch out there that are really working to make it happen. And, you know, you just keep hammering away at that, and you're never going to be disappointed with what happens, and you know.
Sure.
Right? Because you know you're producing good kids, you know, and so that's the goal.
Well, Andrew, I want to ask you a few other things about your career in track and field. You graduated in 1991 from Ankeny High School, where you were a standout high jumper, and you also held the school record for many years, right?
Yeah, I got about 25, and it wasn't that impressive a school record if you look around the other 4A's. So I'm glad I got broken eventually, you know. So, you know, boy, that was a different life. That was a different body.
Yeah,
I can't even imagine.
Sure.
I can barely jump into bed these days, you know?
I hear you. Well, now, what other events did you compete in? Because you ran a little bit too, didn't you?
Yeah, I was, most meets I was, you know, high jump, open four, and four by four.
Okay.
I wasn't tough enough for an eight, and I wasn't fast enough for a two, but with my height, I had pretty quick feet for a tall guy. I was, and so I could go out and run a 51, 52 second quarter, which wasn't spectacular or anything back then, but it was serviceable. And so I went to state in the 4x4, a couple of years, Drake's in the 4x4. And then my senior year, I monkeyed around with the long jump as a freshman, and I did it one time as a sub as a sophomore, and coach wanted to try to steal points at conference meet my senior year, put me in a long jump, and ended up winning conference, and I went to state there. So I had like a 3 or 4 varsity jump career in a long jump. And so that's not really an event. I really don't know much about it. It was just run fast, jump high, but mostly 400s and high jump.
So now as the coach, you know, do you focus a little more, you know, on your time on the high jumpers because that was your specialty, or do you have to spend, you know, an equal amount of time with all the different events?
High jump is the hardest time to squeeze time into because it's so weather dependent. And, you know, when you're a new school, here's what every other school does. They drag out their old mat from 15 years ago. They keep that inside. We don't have an old mat, you know. So for us, it's hauling the entire thing inside from the outside storage and getting it out and battling the snow. So we're usually a little tardy to the party with the high jump. We coach a lot during the meets, and the girls just kind of have to be patient there. So, and the other part is you can really overjump girls. They just need to be fresh. And so we try to rest when we rest as much as possible and talk small technical stuff. I oversee the sprints, you know, and we've got a stripper hurdle coach, and one of our coaches specializes in the longer sprints, but I program our sprints, and we go there because I thought that was kind of this. That was the area that needed the most attention at the split. And I've coached distance at St. Albert and Louisa Muscatine, and I specialized in 400s and high jump when I was an assistant at Ankeny. But I went to shorter because I felt like that's where we need to get better. So that's what I've done.
Well, regardless of what you focus on, I mean, you have to have good assistants to pick up some of those other areas, don't you?
Yeah. It's fun. We've got, Coach Cogdill is amazing. And I wouldn't want to do the job without him because he's so self-contained. And then he's such a sounding board, you know, for whatever idea or whatever my frustration or whatever my cornball, you know, concepts and this and that. We just bounce ideas, and he is such a running aficionado. He just knows so much. And then Haley Wiedmeyer is our throws coach, and she just opened her own business up in Huxley Stolle Suites. And it's real inspirational for our girls to see someone self-made. But now I have two former athletes, you know, on the staff. Logan Wells ran cross country for me at Ankeny, and Emily Roberts joined last year. And so it's really kind of fun to get these kids in where we know who they are, you know, and you know that they're going to be great coaches, and they are. I really enjoy them.
Well, you also played basketball in high school, and you have coached that sport in a couple of your previous stops before you came back to Ankeny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so was coaching track and field, you know, kind of your long-term goal all along, or did it just work out that way?
Kind of happened. I went, you know, in the 90s, social studies jobs were so hard to get. You just had to interview everywhere. You couldn't do anything. And so in July, I don't have a job, and Louisa Muscatine opens up, and they said, so you want to coach girls basketball? And I'd been to about 5 girls basketball games in my life, you know, and that's terrible because, you know, Coach Rasmussen is doing what he did at Ankeny. I should have been to more. But I was busy with my own basketball. But so they said, you want to coach basketball? I said, sure. And then they had an opening for a combined boys-girls assistant. So I was the head varsity basketball coach for a program that never had a winning 5-on-5 record, you know, ever at 22 years old. And I really didn't know what I was doing. I just really pulled out all the Coach Ireland stuff that I could. And then when I went to St. Albert, it was head boys track and assistant boys basketball. So I did that for several years. Basketball was always the thing I was supposed to be good at, and track was kind of this surprise in my life. I just kind of went out to get faster, and I kind of fell in love with the how unique and diverse your athlete collection is, sprinters and throwers and jumpers and all that, and how you can be best friends, you know, hanging out and talking with other guys, you know, and other people from other programs and other coaches, and then still compete like dogs. I love basketball, but when I got out of coaching it, I didn't really miss it until about February. And then you miss that intensity, that playoff run, and, you know, you smell the popcorn in the gym, and you really want to get out there and do
sure.
that. But that's a grind. It's hard to do both. At St. Albert, I had about a 3-week overlap when we'd make state basketball, where I was going starting track practice, walking in the gym, working with
tough.
The posts, you know, going out, stretching the guys out when they got back, and then going and run scout offense. And so it was a lot. When I came back to Ankeny, the opening was boys cross country assistant, and then girls track opening right before we started the season. I was going to volunteer with the boys, and that's how I ended up on the girls side, just because that's where I've always just gone where the opening is. I haven't cared what gender.
You know. All right. Well, in some sports like basketball and football, you know, you can certainly see some of the changes over the years, you know, such as the type of offenses that teams run.
Yeah.
But in track, you know, events like the 100-meter dash and the high jump, you know, they're the same today that they have been, you know, always been.
Yeah.
You know, have you recognized any changes, though, in the sport over the years? I don't know what they'd be, but is there anything that stands out?
The changes in the sport are just this the mentality about what a meet is and what its purpose is. And so much now is designing your entire season as a training, you know, series of training cycles to lead up to your big meets. And so teams won't run hard at particular meets. You know, like what we're doing tomorrow at Indianola would just be kind of an anathema, you know, 20 years ago. You'd go there and you'd run your guys in the max events and try to score as many points, and you tried to win every meet. And now it's more about that long-term goal. And that some of that is really good because we're getting performances that we've never seen in the state before, but some of it is, boy, if that kid doesn't make state or if they have that one bad race, what are you kind of sacrificing along the way? So that's really changed. But then also the way that you have to deal with your kids that are never in an off season for their other sports. Our kids are so loaded up physically and schedule wise from their club stuff or their year round training for all the other things that they do that it really changes what they're capable of, what their bodies can handle. You know, the type of kid that you get out, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. So there's a couple of things.
Now, do you have many kids right now that are competing in other sports or sharing them with clubs or anything? Or?
Yeah, we do. We do. And that's always difficult to work with because, you know, you have to have that rest baked into your training or you're going to get worse. You're going to have injuries. You're going to get sick. You're going to wear down over time. And so we talk to the kids all the time about that. We talk to the parents all the time about that. But, you know, and a lot of them do their best. But there's a lot of they invest a lot of money in a lot of some of the trainings and clubs and things like this, and they want to get their money. They have teams there that they want to let down. And so it's hard for them to kind of negotiate and find their way and balance that out. So they're trying, and we're trying to work with them. But at the same time, you know, we're an in-season sport with goals of our own too. So
sure,
there are going to be times where we're going to ask them to have that stuff take a back seat, you know.
Sure.
But we really try to be flexible with it as best we can.
All right. Well, you obviously grew up in this community, you know, when it was just one high school.
Yeah.
You know, then you eventually came back here, coached at Ankeny. Then you made the switch over to Centennial when it opened in 2013. You know, I'll ask you the same question that I asked Coach Cotter here a little bit ago. You know, do you think there's much of a crosstown rivalry in track, or do you think, you know, since you guys are usually competing against multiple schools at one time, that there really isn't much of that, you know, head-to-head rivalry?
There's not in girls track, and I don't foresee that there will be. I think we like their girls. We like their coaches. You know, Morgan Olson was on one of the Hawkett teams where I was an assistant. You know, it goes back to Coach Adamson and I. I mean, we worked together. I mean, I was a Hawkett. You know, there's no reason for us to make that a rivalry. Do we want to beat him when we run against him? Well, of course, it's a team with a different colored jersey than us. That's what we're supposed to do. But I root for Ankeny. I want to see them do well. I'm glad that they're doing well. I have tremendous respect for Coach Adamson. He and I were very close when I worked with him. He means a lot to me as a mentor and a friend. And it's just, I don't ever want to see us go that way. I think that's a wasted energy when we could be spending, you know, we could both, you know, spend our energy better not liking, you know, Valley or Ames or Waukesha
sure.
or somebody else.
There's plenty of other schools, isn't there?
Yeah, there's. We got all kinds of people that we can have rivalries with and fight on Twitter or whatever kids do these days. So.
Sure. Well, this is the first time in more than 40 years that Coach Adamson hasn't officially been coaching track, although I know yeah. he's still been at some of the meets.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you previously served in as an assistant under him. You know, does it seem strange that he's not out there coaching?
It is. It's, you know, we Coach Weir over at Dowling had some health issues and isn't on the track this year. Coach Schmaltz last year was the first time he wasn't on Ames track. And now Coach Adamson, which, of course, is the most personal for me because, you know, I know him so well. And he's just such an interesting individual in that he's got so many interests. His life doesn't revolve around athletics. He's into music. He's into history. He's into so many neat things. And I think he's just kind of a great example of somebody that has passions in his life and knows what they are and chases those. And he leads a life of interest. He's just constantly fascinated by things. And he's very patient as a coach. He's fun. He's just fun. The number of times we've just cracked each other up over the years, I do miss him. But I like Coach Cotter. I don't know him that well, of course, but I like the direction of the program. I like the enthusiasm the girls have. I think they're headed in great direction. I think they're going to be in great hands. They've got a lot of talent. They got really good kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you learned a lot from Coach Adamson working with him, huh?
Well, I have, and some of the kids won't believe it, but I, you know, some of my rough edges have been sanded off a little over the years, and I'm much more patient than I have been. And I just saw him so many times over the years. You know, take girls that you just are ready to say, just cut her. Just, you know, she's not doing it. She's not working. She's skipping this or she's whatever. And he would just give another chance and give another chance. And these kids so many times would just grow into something that was great. And because he let them stick around. And the Pizzettis have been doing this forever, you know, Coach Pizzetti. And that's, I think, the thing that you got to remember is you want to have expectations for kids, but you don't want to drive them away. You want to keep them around because they're, if you're any good with what you're doing when you lead a program, they're going to be better by being in your program. So try to keep them, you know.
Well, having worked with Dennis for so many years, one of the things that always struck me about him was, you know, he'd be most excited about the JV kid, maybe the last kid on the team who improved her throw by like a foot or something. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Maybe didn't even place, but he'd be so excited about that.
He does, you know. And, you know, when I started the program, I did something at St. Albert. We have a personal best board, and everybody on the team that gets better that day and gets to get a little sticker and put it up and we can tell the team about what it is that they did. We celebrate all improvement all the time. And track's kind of unique that way too on the girls' side because we really don't have like a ninth grade coach. You know, we're coaching all 85 girls top to bottom. And so we've got Catherine Vorthrums, and then we've got, you know, a girl that's going to – looks like she's malt walking out there a little bit, and we're going to try to get both of them better, you know. So he – yeah, he was in it for the right reasons, and he did things the right way, you know.
All right. Well, I just wanted to ask you about one other topic. I'm a big college basketball junkie. I just got back from the Final Four in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
You know, I know you went to the University of Iowa, and you're a big Hawkeye fan.
Uh-huh.
You know, Iowa season was kind of all over the map, you know, with some exciting wins, some disappointing losses.
Yeah.
You know, but it definitely ended on a high note. They had the win over Cincinnati and then the epic comeback against Tennessee that came up just short.
Yeah.
You know, so as a diehard Hawkeye fan, you know, what were your thoughts on this season? Do you feel like, you know, this team reached its potential?
I think anytime you're undefeated in the preseason, that's exciting. And I think Hawkeye fans, and I think, you know, any state like this, Iowa State fans, Nebraska fans that just live and die with their college teams, we find it so easy to get angry, you know, things they did. So they have that late season slide and lose a couple games to like Rutgers and Nebraska, and people are just up in arms. And, you know, when you step back, you got to look at the big picture. And, you know, I'm a history guy, right? Last year, if you would have said, hey, you're going to have, you know, 22, 24 wins, you're going to, you know, finish, you know, sixth in the Big Ten, you're going to be undefeated preseason, you know, beat all those, and you're going to go to the second round of the tournament. Sign me up. You know, we didn't get embarrassed in the first round of the Big Ten tournament, stuff like that. Fran needs to settle down a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to get that under control. Overall, I think you take that as a, you know, it's like an 8-win Outback Bowl football team. You know, that's a good season for what Iowa is. You know,
well, Fran certainly seems to be a polarizing figure, you know, among the Hawkeye fans.
Yeah.
You know, and he was rumored to be a candidate for the Arkansas job. You know, what did you think of that rumor? And, you know, and if he did leave, would you be sad to see him go?
I was so buried in track that I really heard about it kind of afterwards. I wish, because everything you hear about him individually is that he's so friendly and so nice, and he does so many great things for great causes behind the scenes, and it just doesn't come across in the press. I wish he'd just go to a couple of PR classes and just learn how to be nice and learn to open his program up, because I think he's a good guy. His temper and the way he, you know, Tom Izzo does it, and it's great coaching. Fran does it, and he looks like he's insane.
Right,
he just looks, you know, he looks like the dad in Teen Wolf, or the dad at the end of Lost Boys. It just becomes this vampire and just turns into this crazy thing. And, you know, and so he's got to get that under control. But I wish he would allow people to see the good things about him, because I do hear so many positives like that. And, I wish he would do that. I don't know him at all, of course, and he's not going to listen to this. But if he left, you know, I don't know. I think he's done a lot of good things. I prefer more defensive style basketball. You know, that's kind of what I like. I really enjoyed watching Virginia and Texas Tech go through the tournament. Those are outstanding teams.
Wow. They were awesome.
Wow. You know, but.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because there was one national writer who tweeted out before that final game, like, oh, this game's just going to be terrible. And, and if this is the way college basketball is trending, it's just awful because, you know, we could see this kind of game for years.
Yeah.
And then what a great game it turned out to
be. Yeah. What points were we missing?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the game was tight for the first, you know, few minutes and everything. It opened up. It had wonderful flow to it. People were making amazing plays against great defense. I mean, just great athletes, but just so well coached positionally and technically. I mean, it was wonderful.
Yeah, it sure was. All right, Andrew, hey, I'll cut you loose. Thanks for coming tonight. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for being here, or thanks for having me, Dan.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at mikestanbro, that's STANBROUGH, @iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.